A recent survey in the, not just the United States, but in the world, has found that stress levels have increased so much that it is at the highest levels. And I don't know how they measure these things. It's at the highest levels since the middle of World War II. It's just like out of control. Stress is a huge, huge problem. Suicide has become the number one injury death. That's what they're calling it now. Injury death meaning a physical termination of life in the world. In the world, suicide. It's the number one killer of young people now. And a lot of this is because of the pressure and the stresses that are in this world. And there are many, right? If I was to ask you to raise your hands, how many of you are struggling with stuff in life, whether it's family or work or your own self? You'd probably, most of us, raise our hands. And those of you who don't, you'd probably be lying. No, just kidding. So some people actually get through life kind of unscathed, and I'm so jealous. Anyway, in this scripture that we're in Philippians, he's going to give us, the Lord God is going to give us through the Apostle Paul, the answer, the secret to de-stressing your life. The problem is that we don't do it. Just like most of the stuff in the Bible, God says do this, but we don't do it. But if you actually do this, look at what it says. If you do these things, you'll experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than any human mind can understand. So let's look at the secret here. Here's the key verse of this whole passage of Philippians chapter 4. If you do these things, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep you, your thoughts quiet, and your heart at rest as you trust in Christ Jesus. How would you like your heart to be at rest and your thoughts to be quiet so that you could sleep? How many of you had trouble sleeping? How many of you would like to have this peace in your life? It's like, of course you want this. Who doesn't, right? But there is a caveat. With any blessing, there is a premise that in order to receive a blessing, you have to do something. In order to receive the blessing of salvation from God and Jesus Christ, you have to accept them in your life. This stuff won't work for you if you haven't given your life to Jesus. It will work for you if you've given your life to Jesus and you actually do what he asks you to do. Lots of people accept Jesus because they want to be saved, but that's as far as they go. You need to go further. You need to do some more obedient steps in order to make your life even be more fruitful and productive. And that's what God wants for you, okay? He wants you to have fruit. He wants you to have productivity in your life. So let's look. Take out your sermon notes and follow along. Here's the first, if you will, principle for how to de-stress your life. Now, all of us do this without fault. None of us ever, you know, mess this one up. Refuse to worry about anything. How many of you do that all the time? You never worry about anything. If you're not doing this, you're disobeying the scripture. Look what it says in Philippians 4, 6. Never worry about anything. In another translation, it says, be anxious for nothing. That means never worry about anything. How do you do in that area? You're just a bunch of sinners. Most of us point out the bad sins that people do, but how about this one? You are told in the Bible, it's a command, never worry about anything. Be anxious about nothing. It's a command. How good are you at this? At being anxious about nothing? It's hard. It's not an easy thing for us to do because it's not human nature to not worry. Worry about nothing. Worry is something that is very difficult for life. Jesus spent a whole large portion of one of his most famous sermons, it's the longest one recorded when he was on earth, a lot of what he taught in Matthew chapter 5 through 7, which is called the Sermon on the Mount, in which is called included the Beatitudes, and right after that, and in which is included the Lord's Prayer. He teaches about worry, Jesus does. Now, why does he teach about worry? It's because he knows us. He knows human beings. He knows humanity. He made us, so he knows that we have this tendency. We have a tendency to be worrywarts. We have a tendency to stress out about stuff. So he teaches about this and he says stuff. Look, watch what he says here. Jesus is speaking here, not me. Okay, these are not my thoughts. These were in the Bible since before I was ever even thought about. Worry is unreasonable. It's not reasonable to worry. Look what he says. Don't worry about your life, Jesus says. Don't worry about your life. So how many of you do this perfectly without fault? what you'll eat, what you'll drink, that's the basic necessities. About your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? So worry is, it's unreasonable. It's something that is not good for us, okay? And he's asking us to look and to understand that life and the needs of life are met by God, unless you don't think that God can meet your needs. Most people think that God doesn't pay my bills, but he does. And the way he pays your bills is he gives you health, he gives you a sound mind, he gives you ability, and if you take that health, a sound mind, and ability, and the talents that he gave you when he made you, and you take them and you live it out, then you'll be able to pay your bills. But if you get sick, if you get stressed out, if you get depressed, you can't work, you can't do anything. You see, it becomes unreasonable. When you trust God, you trust that he knows what he's doing, he's created me, he knows what I can do, I'm going to go out there and do it, then he'll take care of the needs of my life. My clothing, my food, the things I need just for basics, he'll take care of those things, but I've got to trust him. I think that's what the whole fight about God and life is. Do you believe that he is who he says he is? Or do you believe that you have to go out there regardless of him? Yeah, God's good, but later for him, I got to go do this. Maybe that's the problem. We're saying too much, well, later for God, instead of putting him first. Now watch. Worry is unnatural. It is not only unreasonable, it is unnatural. And he does something really cool here, Jesus again. Look at the birds of the air. So what's he doing? He's asking us to look at an example. Birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So he asks us to look at the natural world. And what do you see in the natural world? You see animals like birds and every animal. Do any of the animals worry? Do you see an elk? It's elk season here pretty soon. Bow season right now. They don't even worry when the hunters go out, tell you the truth. They don't worry. Well, they try to hide, that's for sure. So would I if somebody was trying to blast me out of existence. But anyway, they don't worry. Birds don't worry. You know, animals don't worry. Fish don't worry. The trees don't worry. They never worry. Only humans worry. Isn't that weird? It is unnatural for us to worry. And Jesus is pointing this out. Just look at creation. It doesn't worry. God feeds them. God takes care of them. And you're more valuable than birds, so valuable that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. That's how valuable God looks at human beings. Do you think that God can't take care of you? Jesus is asking us to look at the natural world. You see that they don't worry. And Jesus is asking us to look at the natural world because the natural world shows us that worry is unnatural. It's an unnatural thing to do. Only humans worry. Everything in creation trusts God. But we think that it's all up to us. I got to go do it. You know, God can't help me, so I'm going to go try. And you try and try on your own without God, and then you get all worried and all stressed out, and you wonder why. Because you're not trusting. You're not trusting. Look what he says next. Why worry about clothes? Look at the field lilies. They don't worry about theirs. Solomon in all his glory was never clothed as beautifully as they. So he's telling us the basic needs of life God will take care of. But that's where the rub is, isn't it? The basic needs of life. Most of us think that we need more than the basic needs of life, right? And because of that, we find ourselves in trouble. Jesus said, don't be like the pagans. They run after this stuff. They run after, I need more, I want more, I got to have more. That's pagan. That's the worship of stuff rather than worship of God. If Jesus put it this way, if you seek first the kingdom of God, he'll add the things to you if you need them, if you'll use them for him. We're his children because he says your heavenly Father feeds them. Your heavenly Father, he refers to God, and this is one of the first in scriptures. The prophets always spoke about the Lord God Almighty. Rarely did they use the term Father, but Jesus always used the term Father because he wants you to know that God is like your Father. And some of you are like, great, my father beat me to death. No, he's a loving father, okay? And if he's a good father, he will take care of you. How many of your fathers, Jesus said, give a stone to the child when the child asks for food? Nobody. Everybody trusts their parent. When you're a little kid, remember, did you worry about paying the mortgage?
No.
When you're a little kid, did you worry about the bills?
No.
No? Little Jamie's little son, does he worry about it? No. He wants to get baptized today. I mean, that's all he's worried about, getting baptized. It's interesting about kids. Now, they don't worry because they trust. Now, God is asking us to trust our Father in heaven. Will you trust Him? Will you trust that He can take care of what you need? Even if you get foreclosed on, even if you lose that job, even if it doesn't go the way you want it to go in your life or what you're planning, do you trust that He knows what's going on and that might direct you in a different way? It might cause you to have to go this way instead of that way. I want to do this, I want to go to this job, or I want to marry that person, or I want to have this boyfriend, and then they break up with you, and then you commit suicide or whatever. A lot of people do that. Why not just trust God? Okay, God, you close that door. Let me go find the other door. Okay? Worry is unnatural. The natural world doesn't worry, and God wants us to trust Him like a father. Worry is also unhelpful and unhealthful. Study after study shows that people that are stressing and worrying don't do well in health situations. Health. Ask Bruce. He struggled with cancer, and he said, "You know, I'm gonna deal with this thing by, you know, having a light heart and laughing, because laughing releases all kinds of what are they called?
Endorphins.
Thank you. Who was that out there? Endorphins. And endorphins make you feel good. So it's good to laugh. Say, yeah, but we shouldn't always laugh. We should be. Some Christians look like they're so serious, it looks like I don't want to be a Christian. You look at a Christian, it's like, no thanks. Look at that guy's face. He never smiles, always mad, never has any fun. Christians don't have any fun. Really? I've been having a lot of fun since I've been a Christian, more than I should. Anyway. Worry is unhelpful, and it's unhealthful. Again, study after study shows that stress and worry makes sicknesses worse. So you can actually make your health change. Look what Jesus said. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? You can't even add any time to your life. As a matter of fact, if you worry, guess what it will do? It will shorten your life. I'm so stressed out. Boom. Aneurysm, heart attack. You're done. No more worry. Look what it says in Proverbs. In Proverbs, it says, worry weighs a person down. Worry is like a weight. And when you have a weight on you, it's like this number, right? Worry weighs you down. It's unhelpful, and it's unhealthful. Okay? If you don't stop worrying, you will worry yourself sick. You know, so many people are worried about health, right? About health. What do I eat? What don't I eat? You know, it's not what you eat. It's what's eating you. You guys got it? What's eating you? If you're worrying, if you're stressed out, if you're angry, if you're upset about others, about stuff around you, then it just eats you up inside. It weighs you down. It makes your life unhealthy. You need to stop worrying. Did you know that the word, the base word in Greek and in Hebrew, is the word that means to choke, to strangle. Worry strangles you. It chokes you. What does it strangle and choke? Jesus said this about the seed, the word of God. He said this: the word of God's like a seed. Some of this seed falls in thorny ground. It grows up, but the thorns choke it. And then he explains it. He says, it represents those who hear the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth and all of the pursuit of sin chokes the word in their life, so it doesn't produce. So worry is something that's very unhealthy for you physically and spiritually. It can shorten your life. It cannot change the past, and it cannot alter the future. If you worry about tomorrow, Jesus said, is it going to change anything? If you worry about who's going to become president, does it change anything? If you haven't figured it out yet, you and I don't choose it anyway. It seems to be chosen by somebody else. Worry is unnecessary. It's also unnecessary. You don't need to worry. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away into barns. Your heavenly Father feeds them. If you worry, you're acting like an atheist. Birds in the natural world, they actually believe in God. You and I, if we are worrying, we're actually saying, God, I don't believe that you can provide for me. So you're worse than a bird. Birds aren't atheists. If you're worrying, it proves that you have a problem with faith. It proves that you have a problem with belief. It proves that your trust in God is very small. You'd rather trust yourself than God. That's a problem. That's a huge problem. The Bible says to stop worrying. It says in Philippians where it says there, be anxious about nothing. The word actually means you've got this burden, like worry burdens you down. It says drop it. It says to just drop it. Drop it on the ground, let it go. Let it go. Stop worrying about that, whatever that is. Just drop it. Well, what if I've got cancer? What if you do? I asked Elizabeth, what do you think about that? She told me, well, if I get well, great. If I don't, great. Right? Isn't that the way it is? Hey, if I die, like Paul said earlier in this epistle in Philippians, if I die, I'm with Christ. That's great. If I stay, I get to serve Christ. That's great. So either way, why worry about it? Why worry about what if this, what if that? Well, what if? What can you do about the what ifs anyway? Like Jesus said, you can't change tomorrow by worrying. It's unnecessary, okay? Now, the second principle about how to de-stress your life is, you know, stop worrying. And next is to talk to God about everything. Or if you could put this one, pray all the time. Pray all the time. Does this mean that I have to go out and get on my knees every day and not do anything? No. You can be driving down the street and pray. I tried this yesterday a little bit. You should be paying attention in driving. Oh, yeah, you're driving down the street. Oh, God, please help me against these Santa Fe drivers. Or the uninsured. Somebody was telling me they went down to Mexico, and then they found out that they'll hit you. They'll target you. There's an American. Boom. Right? And they won't let you go until you pay ransom. How do you like that one? It's called the mordida. You know, mordida is the bite. That means they get you and then, okay, that's why Mexico is, right? You got to pay them. If you go down there and drive around, you better carry a few $100 bills in your wallet. Well, maybe you better not, but just know. Talk to God about everything. Pray. I tried this yesterday when I was driving down the street. I stopped at a stoplight and I saw a bus driver come in from the city of Santa Fe bus. And I prayed, Lord, I pray for that man right next to me. Pray that you would help him to know you, find you. It was cool. I thought, I like that. Pray for people. Never worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. Instead, in every situation, let God know what your need is in your prayers and your requests. Let God know. If you've got an issue going on in the family, tell God. Most of us go tell everybody besides God. The Bible talks about gossip in a big way. It's a huge sin. We love to talk about somebody to somebody. If you read Jesus in the Gospels, read him, read what he was like. He didn't talk about people to people. He talked to people. So it's a neat principle in life is to talk to people. Please talk to me. What I mean by that is, if there's some issue with the church, talk to me. Don't talk to everybody else. Talk to me. I'm not going to bite your head off. Don't worry. It won't hurt. Look what it says here. You do not have because you do not ask of God, said James. You don't have because you don't ask. You need to talk to God about everything and pray about everything. If you prayed as much as you worried, what would happen? You're worrying and worrying. What if you prayed instead of worried? Your prayer life would be huge, right? Trust God. Since God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he who gave us Christ also give us everything else we need? It says this in Romans. Paul the Apostle learned this. God gave his son for me. If he gave his son to die for me, what about everything else that I need? If I need a job, if I need food, if I need clothing, if I need him to help me in my family or with my family member or with alcohol or drugs, or if I need him to do that, can he? I really think that a lot of the sin issues going on in our lives is because we don't trust that God can get us out of it. But he can. Let him get you out. Ask my brother. Where is he? Jacob here? He said that he was drinking. He couldn't stop drinking. And then he said one day he just said, God, you've got to stop me because I can't stop. And God stopped him. He's still alive. I mean, sometimes God does stop you that way. I mean, no, seriously, sometimes God will stop you. in that way. He'll take you just because you won't stop. Now, he doesn't do that all the time. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have a good life. He wants to have future. And he will help you to get over stuff if you let him. Ask him. Talk to him. Pray to God about everything. And it'll de-stress your life. And you will worry less and ask more. That's the principle here. Worry less, ask more. When you find yourself worrying, start talking to God right away. God, please help me. Help me in this. Help me to stop worrying about this. You worried about your husband. You worried about your wife. You worried about your family. Ask God to do something, all right? Now, the next thing is to thank God in all things. Thank Him. The third principle about how to de-stress your life is to give thanks to God. It's not an easy thing for us because most of us are thankless. I'll say this because I've had problems sending out thank you cards. I'm not that kind of guy, but I'll say this. When my son died, and I got so much overwhelming support from so many people, I'm like, man, how can I say thank you to everybody? So I'll tell you guys all of this. Thank you for all that you did for me and my family. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for visiting us. Thank you for taking food over to us. Thank you for sending us money to help with the expense of burying and all of that stuff. Thank you. We should be thankful. Study after study shows that if you are a thankful person, life goes way better for you. Ask employers. Have you ever gone to the clerk and you find somebody that's that way, real thankful? Like this guy right here who started saying thank you right away. I'm like, man, that guy's like really, you're going to get a job. You're going to get a huge job. It's hard to find people that are really thankful and are really positive and really grateful. How many of you like to be around the person like, how's everything going? You really want to be around that person, right? You ask this guy or gal, how's everything going? Oh, it's great, and everything's good. It's like, all right, I want this guy to be my friend. Be more thankful. You'll find that it's much more attractive than being more grumpy. You've heard that one. They asked my wife, did you wake up grumpy this morning? She goes, no, I let him sleep. You've heard that one. When you ask God for what you need, there goes those endorphins, all right? Good stuff. When you ask God for, oh, you shouldn't laugh at church. It's so unholy. I think the churches that don't laugh, that's what's unholy. That's a cult. That's the kind that makes you drink Kool-Aid. You know what I mean? No thanks. When you ask God for what you need, also thank Him for all He's done. Okay? Thank Him for everything He's done. Maybe you don't get everything you want, but He gives you what... If you look at your life and you realize that, man, He really has been there for me, the issues of problems in my life are usually me, not Him. I have problems when I step out of line with God. How about you? Always ask with a thankful heart, it says in today's English version. Always ask God, but with a thankful heart. You know, not like, God, you know, I need you to give me some job right now. I'm sure He'll listen to that. Remember, you're asking a person. He is a person. He made us in His image. I mean, how do you want to approach God? Grumpy, or are you going to approach Him with thankfulness? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Circle that in your outline. It is the will of God. This is the will of God. A lot of people said, what's God's will for me? Well, here's one. Give thanks. Be thankful. Say thank you. Thanks to God. That's a great life verse. Thank Him in all things. Okay? What's the next principle here? Think about good things. Now, this is an interesting one, by the way. Look what he says here. Fill your minds with those things that are true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and beautiful and respected. If anything is excellent or if anything is worthy of honor, think about those things. So there goes TV. There goes YouTube. There goes there goes most of the stuff that we get in our media today, right? Our media today, look what we are holding up as entertainment. It's really, really negative stuff. There's a lot of killing. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of bloodshed. There's a lot of evil. You know, Walking Dead, zombies, vampires, whatever. I mean, that's really good to think about. I mean, they're spending millions of dollars to make these movies so that you can go buy tickets to go watch it. You're watching the screen and it's like, that's really good to think about that stuff, right? Why don't you go do something else? Like, go to the opera. I hate opera. You like Vampire Diaries? I mean, I've gotten cultured a couple of times by some people that let me go out there and take their ticket once in a while, and it's like, wow, this is different. It's different. It's really cool to let something else in your life besides all of the junk that you've been letting in. Let something else in. Listen to some different music, kids. There is other music, okay, other than this. I'm in the traffic light. My car's shaking. What's going on? It's a kid next door to me. I roll down the window and I go, hey, and he can't even hear me. Well, I got one to hear me once and I said, I don't want to hear that. And he looks at me like if I'm from an alien or something. Put some earphones on. Blow your eardrums out. Not mine. I like my eardrums. I'm sorry. Okay. I probably would have done the same thing if I was their age, so you know what it is. You, Lord, will keep in perfect peace all who trust you and whose thoughts are fixed on you. So when it says here to think about good things, he's asking you to think about God. Think about God. There's too much GIGO principle. You know what the GIGO principle is? The garbage in, garbage out. That's from computers. Stop taking the garbage in. That's why you're having troubles. You're listening to the philosophies and the answers that the world gives. Listen to God. Read the Bible. Watch some Christian movies. Go out of the city and look at the mountains and look at the stars at night and contemplate God and your life. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. That's one of the things that I wanted to get back from Los Angeles to here, where I grew up. Because in Los Angeles, everything is man-made. You never see the stars. You get to see the ocean, and sometimes you see the mountains when the smog blows away. But I thought, man, all they see is man-made stuff. And if all you see is man-made stuff, and that's all you think there is, and that's not true, get out, look, and it's like, wow, there's a lot of cool stuff out there. Go up to Valles Caldera. I'm going to go up there for my birthday tomorrow. Because it's just beautiful to look at what God has made. Think about good things. Have you? Look what it says here. In Proverbs, it says, fools make fun of sin, but the godly acknowledge it and seek reconciliation. When you contemplate the things that are good in the Bible, God says, this is wrong, this is right. When you see this and you see that God says this, you say, all right. But in today's Hollywood culture, they make fun of evil. They make fun of sin. They think that it's cool. They make fun of those who try to live right, actually. They make fun of people who try to follow God. And they mock at making an amend for sin. It says in another version, they mock at making an amend for sin. That's our whole culture in Hollywood nowadays. We need to think about good things. Now, the next principle is to be content with anything. To be content with anything. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to tell you something here on this, before I forget. On this verse, fill your minds with those things that are true and good and right. Think about things that are pure and beautiful and respected. Think about what's excellent and worthy of honor, and think about these things. There's 8 tests about should I watch this movie? Should I do this thing? Should I? If you take this verse and say, does this verse fit with what I'm about to listen to or do? And is he saying, test everything with this, and you'll be amazed how much stuff you can just say, nah, I don't want to watch that. Nah, this is no good. Maybe I'll just go look at the moon. The moonrise was phenomenal the other day, and the moon set. It was really cool. Be content with anything. I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Now, that's the rub, I think. Most people are only content if circumstances are the way they want them to be. They keep on waiting and waiting for everything to change. I'll be content when. It's if-then thinking. If this happens, then I'll be happy and content. If I get the right boyfriend, if I get the right job, if I get the right situation, if I find the right church, if-then thinking never gets you content. You need to learn how to be content whatever circumstance you're in. Now, what is the secret? Because he says this, I've learned a secret to be content in whatever circumstance. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. In other words, when he had hardly any money or when he had a lot of money. He understood how to be content in every situation. People like that, they're content regardless of circumstance. I've learned the secret of contentment in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, or I've had more than I need, or when I don't have enough. That's the Living Bible, okay, on this verse. This is really cool. You need to not wait for something else. You need to be content when? When? When is he saying to be content? Now. Now. It's you got to choose contentment. You choose contentment. You can choose to be all, you know, upset because it's not the way you want it to be. Well, when will you be happy? Will you really be happy when you get what you think you want? Will you really be happy when you get that person that you think needs to be in your life? Because if you're not happy now and you come into their life, you're going to make them unhappy. Be content now. Be content in every situation. Look what it says here. Peace of mind makes the body healthy, but envy is like a cancer. Peace of mind. Contentment, in other words. If you're a content person, if you're happy as a clam, people say that out there, happy as a clam. I wonder why they say that. I didn't know that clams were happy. I've always tried to figure that out. Why be happy? Why be content? It may not mean that you're always jumping up and down for joy. It says, be content in all circumstance. You think Paul was content when he was sitting in a Roman prison cell? Maybe tomorrow they call him out and he gets his head chopped off or he gets burned at the stake. Who knows? But he learned how to be content. Can you? Can you be content in everything? It's better to only have a little with peace of mind than to be busy all the time with both hands trying to catch the wind. It says in Ecclesiastes, okay? In another Proverbs verse, it says, better to have a meal with vegetables than a house full of contention and riches. So it's not an issue of if I have this, if I get that, then I'll be happy. That'll never make you happy. You have to choose that contentment now. Be content with anything. How? How do you accomplish all of this stuff? Well, I'm here to tell you this. I'm here to tell you this, that you cannot apply any of the Christian principles unless you're a Christian. Unless you're born again and you've come to Jesus and you've asked him to come into your life, you can't have any of this blessing and principle in your life. You've got to ask Jesus to come in first. That's the first step, okay? Then you start following him. You start obeying him. How do you do some of these things? I have the strength to face anything and everything by the power that Christ gives me, okay? I have the strength that comes from Christ will help me to do anything and everything. He can help me to go through everything, even the hard things of life. A lot of people think, I'll never know how to go through that. No, but God will give you the strength when you need to go through that, whatever that is. Obey God. Be at peace with him. This is the way to happiness. Job chapter 22, verse 21. True contentment, I think, is independence from circumstances. Circumstances are what they are. But you're independent, regardless of what they are, you're contented. That is a great secret of life. Be content and be content now. Stop coveting, because coveting is the opposite of contentment. What is coveting? It is, I'm not content with this, I want that. But if you're just happy with what you have, then God will add to you other things if you need them and if you'll use them for him. Okay, if you are here and you've never said yes to the blessing of Jesus Christ, then I want to give you that opportunity. So let's just bow your head and pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, if you want him into your life, come into my life and be my Savior. I need you. I need you because I've been trusting in myself and not in you. Forgive me. Forgive me of my sins and be in my life. I want you to be in control of my life, because I've been making a mess of my life. Help me. And for those of you who have already said yes to Jesus, maybe your prayer should be, Lord, help me to be content. Help me to worry about nothing. Help me to pray about everything. Help me, Lord, to obey what these scriptures are telling me. Forgive me where I have erred in this. Release me from the sin of worry and give to me the blessing of contentment in all circumstances, so that I may have more fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.